taking a quick break from our You Asked For It series to talk about Thanksgiving today. I titled the message Thanks Living because it's more than just one day a year, but I love Thanksgiving. I've got great memories. Maybe you're like me. I come from a large family. My mother would set up multiple tables in the living room and she'd start in the dining room and she'd go down and make an L just before booster seats, us kids would sit on dictionaries and encyclopedias. Yes. And the phone book. Yes. If I'd only read those things rather than just sit on them. But seriously, I just have wonderful memories and meals together and smells and whatever. And I love Thanksgiving. What's that chemical in turkey that makes you want to sleep? What's that stuff? Was it? Tryptophan. You know you've hit your limit when everybody playing Catan after lunch goes. That's right. That's right. Somebody sent me something I thought was funny. They said, you know you ate too much for Thanksgiving when the doctor says you're the perfect weight for a 10-footer. Okay, that'll make you laugh at lunch, all right? That just will, okay? Or you start receiving applications for the Sumo Wrestling League unannounced. They just know you've done it. Yes, yes, Friday morning jog was felt by the neighbors. You know you've ate too much. When a representative from Butterball has called twice and left a message this time. Yes. Another person sent me one I thought was funny. A politically correct explanation of Thanksgiving. The pilgrims came here seeking freedom of you-know-what. When they landed, they gave thanks to you-know-who. And because of them, we can worship Sunday you-know-where. Do you remember what the real meaning of Thanksgiving was? It was an incredible time. In his book, The History of Thanksgiving, H.W. Westmeyer said that the pilgrims made seven times more graves than they did huts to live in. It was a very difficult time in our history. 102 people were shoved into what was called the between decks of the Mayflower. You had the hole down where all the cargo went and then the topside deck, and they were stuck in about 5 feet is all the headroom they had. There was 102 of them crammed in there on the Mayflower. And it was rough seas, and so they would sing. 66 days at sea, they sang the Book of Psalms. One of the mariners got sick and tired of hearing him singing and said, well, some of you are going to get sick, and I'm going to have fun throwing your corpses overboard. Little known fact, the Mayflower carried wine for many years, so all of that spillage created a disinfectant in all the beams, and the only person who got sick was that loudmouth mariner who said he'd throw him overboard. He ended up dying, and they threw him overboard. It was still a tough time. There's a lot of great stories, but from that is our history of the Day of Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, the idea of giving thanks or expressing gratitude. I hope you do this year. If you don't have a place to be on Thanksgiving, come be with the mixed family. You're welcome to come. But we like to ask people when we're sitting around the table, what are you thankful for? What is it that, what has God done for you this year? What is it that you would write? If we were to write a story of your life, what is it you are thankful about? Thanksgiving is the act of rendering that thanks. It's not just a public celebration. It's a time of gratitude. And in the book of Psalms, chapter 100, you hear a psalm of thanksgiving, a psalm of praise. Now, as is our custom, we're going to read it out loud. Now, I'm going to read the odd numbers. You guys are going to read the even. That's why you need a Bible. So here we go. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Isn't that an awesome thought? All generations. God's goodness and praiseworthiness is being passed to each generation because God is faithful. You know, what was interesting about the Nordic culture was they thought Odin was a 5-year-old child because when they looked up to heaven, God made no sense. He'd be happy one day, mad the next. He'd look like a petulant child. But the truth is, our God is good. And as you read through the Bible, you find his praise. You find people saying his mercy endureth forever. You know, some of you have been wronged. Some of you have been betrayed. Some of you have been done terribly, terribly wrong. And maybe you have allowed God to heal those memories, but those memories remain. You know, when God was merciful to you and I, he wiped the record clean and forgot it. Willed it out of memory. God remembers your sin no more, the Bible says. Isn't that an incredible thought? His mercy endureth. There's not even a backup copy in the cloud, trust me. God has it all wiped away because of the blood of Christ. So as I said, Thanksgiving is just the expression of gratitude, being grateful. And I got to tell you, the Bible says in 2 Timothy that the time would come when society would be ungrateful. Right. Ungrateful, not thanking the person who's done this. I mean, who does the atheist thank when things go well? Okay, that's a joke. You'll get at lunch too, okay? You'll get it later. It'll hit you sideways. It really will. In Hebrews 13:15, it says, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually." Well, what is the sacrifice of praise? That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. You are offering a sacrifice. You are giving God a gift when you praise him, when you tell him, thank you. I recognize this came from you. James chapter 1, the Bible says that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from heaven. From the Father of lights in whom is no variableness. That means he's not just good one day and bad the next. No, it's good every day. He's not like people. He's not like us who are friendly one day and mean the next. He's not that way. Now, he's good. Now, we're commanded to give thanks. You're in Psalm 100, so just go a couple of pages toward the back. Look at Psalm 107. Psalm 107 and verse number 21 and 22. Look what it says here in Psalm 107, verse 21 and 22. It says, Oh, this is the psalmist. Who wrote this? This is untitled, so we assume it's David. It says here, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing." I did a little study this week, and you'd say, "Well, of course you did. You're the pastor." Well, no, I was having some fun. You can actually study the Bible and have fun and not have a purpose to get a sermon together. Did you know that? You can actually study the Bible and not one for a lesson. You can just have fun studying. I was just messing around and looking up all the commandments to be thankful. There are 19 commandments in the Bible where we're commanded to give God praise for. It's the will of God that we praise him. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5, it's in everything and in every situation. That's a lot of stuff. Has some things happened to you in your life that you probably wouldn't have chose had you had the opportunity to choose? You know, I like buffets. I know that's not a shock to people when they look at me, but I like buffets. Okay? But I appreciate the fact that they have separated the salad counter from the meat counter and the dessert counter, so there's just no guilt. All right, there's just no guilt, right? Brother D, you just walk over and go, give me. No, thank you. Just walk right by. Don't feel guilty about it at all. Don't, it just, that green stuff doesn't stare me in the face. But we as Christians sometimes want to live our life like buffet Christianity. Well, I like this, but I don't like that. Why'd you do that? God, that ain't right. Hold on. The Bible says God did it for our good. He'll work all things together for our good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Why? Because verse 29 of Romans 8 says he's going to mold you and shape you into the image of God. And sometimes molding takes pressure. Sometimes polishing takes friction. And that's what God's doing. He's doing it for your good. 19 reasons. It says at the completion of a task, we're to give praise, Nehemiah 12. For our food, John 6. In remembrance of God's holiness, Psalm 30. For God's mercy, Psalm 106 and 107. For the gift of Christ, 2 Corinthians 9. We're supposed to give praise for the gift of Christ. You realize Christ didn't have to go to the cross. He was praying in the garden. Your grandma's probably got a picture of him on a rock praying, right? At the house, right? Amen. We all was raised with that. Did he say, "Oh, I'm looking forward to this. God just going to bring it on"? Is that what he was praying? No, he was praying, if there be any other way that mankind might be redeemed, let's do that. That's what he was praying. But he was obedient to the Father. You ought to praise God for Christ. Praise God for Christ's power and reign, Revelation 11, for the reception of God's word and its effect on us, 1 Thessalonians 2. We're delivered from the power of sin. We're delivered from the penalty. You realize that, right? The record's been clean. When the blood of Jesus Christ was applied to your life, all of your past, present, and future sins were covered by the blood of Jesus. Do you realize that Jesus knew how sinful you'd be when he saved you? Not just how sinful you were at that moment, but how the sin you would commit in the future. He, past, present, and future, have been wiped clean. You ought to give God praise. Victory over death in the grave. That's right. This body may fly, but I'm going to, or die, but I'm going to fly one of these days. And I'm looking forward to Christ. I don't want to retire. I want to expire. I want to go right into the arms of Christ. I want to see him come in the clouds. For wisdom and might, Daniel chapter 2, we ought to praise God. For the gospel, 2 Corinthians 2, that somebody brought the gospel to you. You ought to praise God for that. For the conversion of others, Romans 6, for the fact that other people in your life have gotten saved. For the faith that is exhibited by you and others. You ought to praise God in Romans 1:8. For the love exhibited by others. You've experienced the love of God if you've experienced love through someone else. That's 2 Thessalonians 1. There was a ton of these commands you ought to praise God for. But when I think of Psalm 100, we have several things in here that just jumped out at me. Because when a person is grateful, when we have gratitude in our heart for what God has done, it will be expressed in our life in several ways. And so Psalm 100 really jumped out at me. Look at verse 1 again. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. So we are expressing our thankfulness, not just once a day on the fourth Thursday of November, but thanksgiving can become thanks living if our heart is grateful to God. It will be expressed first as art of joy. Verse 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Joy is the outgrowth, the natural outgrowth of a thankful heart. Even in our darkest days, we can count our blessings. Has it been a long time since you sang that song, Count Your Blessings? Count Your Blessings. You remember that song? Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Okay, I know you don't like me singing. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. You know, Helen Keller, who was born blind and deaf, she said, so much has been given to me that I have no time to ponder that which I do not have. One of the great therapies for depression and discouragement is to list the blessings you have. Some of you have served our country overseas, and you've been to those foreign lands, and the people over there would just love to have a daily supply of rice and be happy. And then we come home and we get discouraged and we get depressed. They'd trade with us in a heartbeat. There were thousands trying to get out recently to get here. They'd trade with you. You know, sometimes we do get discouraged. Christians do get depressed. One of the ways you can fight that back is to list all the blessings. List them. You know, there was a poem I read one time that said, you know, I was discouraged. I had no shoes till I met a man who had no feet. You know, you don't got to go very far to find people who would trade with you. So what are your blessings? If you have a thankful heart, you're going to express it. You're going to express it through singing. It's just going to come out of you. And that's why we sing those songs, because count your blessings as a reminder. You know, another one is to list all of your answered prayers. That's why we keep a prayer list or a prayer journal, so we can say, look how God did this. Because sometimes we get discouraged and sometimes we get depressed and we need to go back through and go, wow, look, oh, God's right. I asked God for that. And wow, look how, oh man, he answered. And it's hard to be discouraged when you see all that God is doing. Thankful people count their blessings, and thanksgiving becomes thanks living. Number two here in Psalm 100 is found in verse 2. An expression of thankfulness will come out as a life of service. Serve the Lord with gladness. You know, the Apostle Paul, he said it was his love that God had for him that caused him to serve. See, when you read 2 Corinthians 5:14, it says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us." Well, if you take it out of context, your flesh would say, "Well, if you just love God, you'd be thankful." No, that's not how it works. When you realize how much God loves you, you can't help but respond. We love him because he first loved us. See, I didn't respond to the offer of salvation because I thought I was all good and everything. When I realized how holy God was, then I realized how sinful I was, then I realized how awesome salvation is. And until you realize just how sinful you are because of how holy he is, then salvation becomes something you'll praise God for. We think we deserved it. And sometimes we as Americans think we deserve the blessings we have. And no, it's just the providence of God being good to us. We don't deserve to serve the Lord. That's why we don't do it out of guilt or fear. We do it because he loves us. Johnny Erickson Tata was in an accident that made her a quadriplegic as a teenager. She went on to write books and paint just by holding a brush in her mouth. And she says, "Giving thanks is not a matter of feeling thankful. It's a matter of obedience." Charles Spurgeon said, they are sure to praise God who serves him best. You know, the blessings of God don't add grief to our life. They really don't. That's what Proverbs 10 tells us. So when we express thanksgiving, it becomes thanksgiving because it comes out of a heart of joy and a service to God. And then the third one here is the words of praise. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." I'm in the wrong one. I'm in 103. Sorry, that was good preaching, though. "Come before his presence with singing." Do you sing? Do you hum? Do you whistle? Do you think through? We sing a lot of these old hymns that you were raised on because the words matter. They have a way of bringing the Bible to our mind. Praise him, praise him. Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. He's your Redeemer. He didn't have to, but he did. And that makes me want to praise him. All through the Psalms, there are thanksgiving and singing linked together. Look at Psalm 95. You're right there in 100. Go back to Psalm 95 and verse 2. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Do you remember the song, "Come Thou Fount"? Anybody? I know it's an oldie but a goodie. Talks about the blood of Christ and the never-ending fountain. "Come Thou Fount of every blessing." It all comes from him. "Tune thy heart to sing thy praise, streams of mercy never ceasing." Are you listening to the words? God's mercy never ceases. He's not going to come back and remind you of something he's already forgiven you of. It's been erased. And the song goes, "Streams of mercy never ceasing, calls for songs of loudest praise." You do understand that we are received, but not because we earned it. We received not because we deserved it. Gratitude tunes our heart to give God praise. You know, everybody in here has something to be thankful for. Everyone. Everyone here has truly something to be thankful for. Now, I used to think Thanksgiving ought to come after Christmas because I'd have more to be thankful for, but you all have something. I want you to think about it for a second. I know times can be hard, and some of you are carrying massive burdens. I know it. I am not oblivious to the things, the struggles you are facing and the trials you're having to go through right now, and I love you, and I wish I could do more for you, but you're facing some struggles right now, and the hardships are terrible, but you understand that's the stark reality of living in a sinned, cursed world. But there are some things you can be thankful for. And this old world has a nasty tendency to hide those things in our problems, not let us see them clearly. Look at Psalm 100 again in verse number 4. It says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good." You got to walk with God a little while before that really sets into you. You know, people say it all the time. Well, God's good all the time. God is good. And other people go, "God's good," or "God's good all the time." And other people say, "All the time, God's good." So you got to walk with God a little while. And for you able to look back at your life and go, "Yeah, as they sang, as the lady sang, all my life, my God has been faithful. All my life, he's been so, so good. And that's true. So it says in verse 5, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Gratitude is you and I offering a precious praise to God because he listens. He wants to hear you say it. So what are some things you can be thankful for? Do you realize you can thank God he loves you? There are days when you aren't very lovely. Did you know that? I know. If you're not sure about that, ask the person sitting next to you and they'll help you. They'll help you. You're not always lovely. Bless your heart. That's what we say down south. Bless your heart. Right? You're not always lovely. But God always loves you, even when you've been bad. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. What kind of love is that? That we should be called the sons of God. Not just forgiven and sent down the street like we do the neighbor kids. When the kids, they don't come over anymore. We figured that out in Sunday school today, didn't we? Neighbor kids don't come over anymore. Used to be the kids would stand at our door and knock, and our kids come out and play. You know, but the truth is you kids are little kids are being little sinners like they always are because they're the neighbor kids, but because yours are perfect. And you forgive them, but you make them go back home, right? That ain't how God does you. God don't just forgive you and go on home. No. God loves you. You're his child. Come on in. Sit down. There's a place for you at the table. You can praise God that you are God's son or daughter and that his boundless love was exhibited at Calvary. Calvary was not God's failure. Calvary was not God's a downfall. No, it was God's greatest gift of love. And it was written in red for us. You can praise God, he loves you. You realize you can thank God that he died, that Jesus died for you? How long has it been since you thanked the Lord that he died for you? 1 Thessalonians 4:10, herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. And how did he show that? He sent his son to be the propitiation or the payment that satisfies the holiness of God. That's what that word is. Did anybody use that in a sentence this week? Propitiation means that God sent the sacrifice that paid for the sin of mankind and satisfied the holiness of God completely, past, present, and future. That's what that old English word means. There is no synonym in the modern language. That's why we love that old word. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for you. We did a little exercise in Sunday school. I asked the people in my class, I said, of all the people you know in the world, and some of you have traveled extensively, how many of those people could you make a phone call and they drop everything and get on a plane because you needed them? Maybe it's easier for you to go the other way and say, how many people could call me and say, I need you? And you'd drop what you're doing, you'd get on a plane, and you'd go there. I want you to think about that for a second. I can think of two, maybe three. Besides my own blood, my own brothers, I have two brothers still living. If they needed me, I'd go. But outside of them, maybe you've got a battle buddy that's facing a crisis. The suicide rate's off the chart, and nobody seems to care, which is sick. And just I hate it, and it bothers me. And you ought to pray for our brothers and sisters in uniform. They're struggling. How many of them would call and you'd go, "That's it. I got to go." And you drop everything. You get on a plane to preserve their life. You realize God the Father said, you couldn't come to me, so I'm going to drop everything and come to you. And that's Calvary. He dropped everything and came to you. Jesus laid down his glory. He laid down his omnipotence and omniscience and omnipresence. He laid aside these. Oh, he was God in the flesh. Trust me. He's all God and all man. But do you understand? He dropped everything and came to you. You can be thankful for that. You can be thankful that salvation was offered to you. The Bible says in Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. I love singing songs. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infant. I love that. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. Maybe you don't think you sing well. You can sing in the car. People just think you're talking on the phone. Go ahead and sing. It won't hurt you. especially when you're being discouraged by traffic. I don't know what happened yesterday, but everybody was out on the same roads I was on yesterday. Did you feel that way yesterday? I was having to sing to get through. Salvation means that I have a relationship with God. I'm no longer his enemy. I am his child, and I can praise God for that. I can be thankful that heaven is waiting for me. Do you understand that now? If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, listen to me. You are a sinner. And because you're a sinner, you have fallen short of the glory of God. And because you've fallen short, you deserve death and hell. But God came to you and offered you a free gift and said, here you go. You can't come to me, so I'll come to you. You can't pay for it, so I will. All I'm asking you to do is believe, is to turn from your sin and admit it. Say, God, I'm sorry. It's me. I need you. Please save me. At that moment, heaven was notified. Did you know that? And your name got written down. You know, I'm old school. I know you can't tell by the color of my beard, but I'm old school. I was flying to LAX this last week, and I didn't have a paper boarding pass. You realize they don't let you on a plane without a boarding pass. Did anybody know that? They don't let you on. Even though you've gone through every kind of security measure you can think of. Some idiot in Atlanta had got through with a ghost gun. I don't understand how that happened, but still, think about it. So I had it on my phone, right? I love apps like that because it told me the gate changed while I was still eating a sandwich. Ding. I love that, right? And you're watching, you know what I'm saying? It's cool, right? I want to get there, right? I don't want to miss my plane. Have you ever missed a plane? It's frustrating. They're like, the plane is still there, but the door's shut. Come on, cut me a break. Just open the door. Sneak on. And I think some of you think that you're going to sneak into heaven. Like you're going to get the gate person to go, it's okay. Don't tell nobody I came. Tell them you're checking a bag or what. I don't know. Listen to me. Heaven got notified. And wherever you are when Jesus comes back, your reservation has already been confirmed. And the flight will happen whether you're driving or flying or whether you're sleeping or working. It'll happen. And you'll go. You be thankful that no matter. My dad had crazy sayings. Anybody else have a father with crazy sayings? Anybody? Anybody? Amen. Amen. Right, brother? My daddy always said, no matter how bad it gets, they can kill you, but they can't eat you. Some days I'm not so sure. You know, the truth is, no matter where you are or what you've done, if you know the Lord as your Savior, you're going. You're going. Not because you deserve it, but because you're God's child. And that happened the moment you got saved. How long has it been since you thanked God for your salvation? Maybe you used to hear the old timers get up in church when you were little. And they'd go, I just want to thank God for my salvation. You think, oh gosh, here goes Madam, yes, from the Amen pew. Oh, bless God. You know, how long has it been since you personally went, you know, God, I want to thank you for saving my soul. I wasn't worth it. You know, God didn't get a bargain when he got you. God got took. You understand that, right? Right? Like some of you folks who drive Dodges. You know, you got took. I don't want to tell you. I don't want to tell you. You're right with God, you had a Ford. Amen. Brother Helton, you left me hanging there, brother. What happened? Right? And the truth is, God didn't get a deal when he bought you. He really didn't. He bought you with the blood of his own son. And I think to myself, I love my boys. I don't always like my boys, but I love my boys. Do you always like your kids? Not always. But anyhow, you'll get there. You'll be there with the rest of us one of these days. But the truth is, I wouldn't give any one of them for you. I wouldn't. I wouldn't give any one of them for you. I love you, but that kind of love is God's love. I can thank God for that. We truly, truly are blessed people. But it's that acknowledgement in our heart when we realize just how blessed we are. Thanksgiving goes to thanksgiving because each day I can see the blessing of God in the sunrise. I can see the blessing of God in every moment. And I mean, I know I get out of bed and it's Rice Krispies, baby. Snap, crackle, and pop until I get moving. I understand. And I'll drive home and sometimes I'll be stuck in traffic and I get out of the car and it's laugh or cry, buddy. You got to get out of the car. And my neighbors are wondering, who's that old man? Oh, it's just Mick. And then by the time I get to the door, I'm standing straight up again. But you know, there are people who trade with me. The fact that I can still move and breathe and do things. The fact that you're still useful. You're still useful. These are things to praise God about. When I acknowledge that, when I lay down my pride and realize I'm not all that, I'm anything, it's because of Jesus. Thanksgiving turns into thanks living because I recognize where it comes from. Every child that's ever been conceived is a special creation of God and a special blessing. And many times when you read books on child rearing, it's about training you. That's the best application I can give you to the Bible is the fact that those books train you how to train kids. You know, they train you by training you. You understand? In the Bible, it reads you when you read it, and it changes you. And I recognize where it came from. In Daniel chapter 4, in verses 29 through 37, Nebuchadnezzar, the emperor of the known world, gets back from his conquests. And in the evening, he gets up and he walks out on his large porch, and he looks at the extent of his kingdom, and he says, "Look what my hand hath wrought." And the voice from heaven says, "You brought that? You're going to be a beast of the field until you can understand that it's the God of heaven." Now, I'm paraphrasing. And for 7 years, he lost his mind. The great God emperor, he thought he could do anything, thought he was everything. For 7 years, that man was mad in the field, eating grass like an ox and waking up covered in dew and run off from his family until he woke up one day and realized there's a God in heaven and I'm not him. And I wonder sometimes how come we have to wait till something is removed from us to realize it was a blessing and we'd been disregarding it all this time. Everything we receive is a gift. Our life, our breath, the fact that we can think and move, the fact that we're useful, the income God gives us, the friends, the family, the church God gives us. 2 Corinthians 9 says, "And my God is able to make all grace," that's all supernatural enablement or benevolence to you. It's God empowering you, God's riches at Christ's expense, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. See, Thanksgiving is a day, but thanksgiving is a gratitude, as a grateful heart, recognizing all that we have, none of it deserved, all of it is a praise to Him. Acknowledging it outwardly, whether it's in song or in service or in just an overwhelming joy, because it's the opposite of bitterness. Each one of you have had your own special struggles in life. And anytime God polishes or God works, it takes friction. I understand that, but instead of it letting it get you bitter, you let God make you better because you understand the kindness and the heart of kindness that God had that brought it to you, even though you wouldn't have chosen it. So what are you thankful for? Anybody ever been to Easter Island? Easter Island. It's 72 degrees there, 365 days a year. It's sunny. It very rarely rains and storms. I mean, rare. It's a beautiful island. Except for the fact that it doesn't rain. So that means the smoke from the cars never get above the second level windows of houses and created a smog on the island. And the soot and the grime from industry has coated the walls of houses because it never rains. The bugs are overwhelming because it never rains and it never storms. You'd think it's a paradise. And on certain days, yeah, it's pretty. But without the storm, the air never gets cleansed. The bugs overrun you and the smog never moves away. So sometimes we ought to be thanking God for the storms that come in our life that clear out the mess we've allowed, to realign our thinking, that redirect our steps, because they brought you to here and the life you have now. What are you thankful for? You're thankful for your being saved. That's great. You're thankful you're going to heaven. Great. Are you thankful for the last time you were wounded? See, you're not truly forgiven someone until you've released the debt and are thankful it happened because of what it did to you in your prayer life and what it did for you in your walk with God. You're not truly forgiven somebody until you're thankful it happened. And that is a big pill sometimes. But yet, a heart of gratitude will be expressed in joy and in singing and in service. That's how people will know. See, the Bible says we are to be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you of the reason of the hope that lieth within you. They ought to be able to see it. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Are you thankful that you're saved? Are you thankful that you're a member of the church? Are you thankful that you have a family that loves you? And if you're alone, you have a church family here that wants to love you and be your family. Are you thankful for your physical ability? The fact that you're still useful. This is how a day of thanksgiving turns into a day of thanksgiving. With every head bowed and every eye closed, the Word of God says that the house of God would be a house of prayer. I'm going to pray for you, and then I'm going to back away from the podium, and I'm going to pray for the things I'm thankful for. And when I'm done, when I say amen, I want you to do the same. I want you to just take a moment and praise God for the things you're thankful for. Whether you pray as an individual or as a family or as a couple, or you can use the altar, stay where you are, it doesn't matter. But I think it would be very beneficial if we'd all just take a minute and let this house of prayer actually be a house of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in the next few moments, we pray, God, that you'd receive our offering of praise, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks for the things that we're thankful for. And Father, today during the message, I pray that you have reminded us of all that you've given. And Father, we know that even more is coming to us because of our faith and our hope and because of Christ. And so today we say thank you. Please receive our offering of praise as we pray. And thank you for all that you've done in Jesus' name. Amen. As she plays, won't you pray? Our Heavenly Father, I love you.
I was sure by now, God, you would have reached down and wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I'll say amen, and it's still raining as the thunder rolls. I barely hear you whisper through the rain. I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I'll raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. And I'll praise you in this storm, and I will lift my hands, for you are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I've cried, you hold in your hand. You never left my side. And though my heart is torn, I'll praise you in the storm. I remember when.
Are you struggling?
I stumbled in the wind.
So much to be thankful
for.
The Bible teaches that praise unlocks the grace of God. Your praise is what heaven responds to, what God responds to. That we're to pray. We're to intercede with thanksgiving, knowing where the answer comes
as
from.
As the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain.
If you died today, are you sure you'd go to heaven? What are you trusting in? You trusting in an infant baptism or a communion or a catechism or some ritual? What is your faith in?
Praise the God who gives.
We cannot work our way to heaven. We cannot earn it. We cannot be good enough. That's why it is so awesome that He gave it as a gift. Have you received that gift? You can today.
I will lift my
call out to Him in prayer. Admit you're a sinner. Admit you believe Jesus died on the cross and that His blood paid for your sin.
And every tear
and ask Him to forgive you and save you because you believe that's when your sin was paid for. And you thank Him. Thank Him for saving you. Because your faith is not in you. Your faith is in Christ and His blood. Believe. That's what Paul told the Philippian jailer.
I'll praise you in the storm.
Our Father and our God, let our lives be a living testimony of a grateful heart expressed through joy and song and service. May others experience your love and your joy through us. Help us, God, to forgive those as you've forgiven us. Help us to clear the record and be thankful for the pain, for there was a purpose. And thank you, God, that you've made everything in our life for the purpose of your glory. Use us this week. Let us lead others to this saving knowledge that we've experienced, and we'll praise you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you.